Good morning. Let's turn to John 21 as we finish up John and the Gospels. John 21. And after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." Then he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he was said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." This saying, therefore, went out among the brethren that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which were written. Amen. And thus concludes. And so this is the third time that Jesus is manifesting himself. So he goes to the Sea of Tiberias. Remember, the guys had gone back to their professions, right? So they're fishing again. So they go out at night, you know, they're trying to catch some fish, and it actually doesn't quite turn out the way that they think. They don't catch anything. Jesus is waiting for them on the water. And then Jesus says something interesting to these guys. He says, "Hey, why don't you put, you know, the nets over on the right side of the boat?" Right now, if you know the Sea of Tiberias and, you know, the Galilee and all that's kind of going on here, the water is actually very, very clear, you know, and so it's actually incredibly difficult to catch fish during the day, right? You know, they would see what's going on, you know, the commotion and whatnot. And so remember going back to Luke chapter 5, when, you know, Jesus asks the same thing. He says, "Hey, you know, they had come in from the night. Hey, go out and throw it out to the deep, and you'll catch some fish, you know." And remember, Peter and those guys are like, you know, basically, "Lord, this is our job. We kind of know what we're doing. You know, let us do our job. You do your job of preaching and, you know, et cetera, right?" But yet they do that, and then their nets almost break because there's so much fish that come out. Now, there's no argument, you know, that happens in this place, but, you know, Jesus is, again, going against conventional wisdom, you know, and even in their profession, so they, you know, catch a huge bunch of fish. But then the story here is not really about the incident. You know, Luke 5 is more about the incident, right? But in Luke 21, or I mean John 21, it's not really about the incident. It's about one person that's sitting on the boat, and his name's Simon Peter. Notice what he does. The disciple is obviously John. John turns to him and says, hey, it's the Lord, right? It's Jesus, you know? And because Peter is so full of shame, right? What does he do? He actually goes into the water because now the boat is going to come towards the shore. He's trying to run away in essence, right? But what, he does something very peculiar. He, before he jumps into the water, he actually puts his garment on and then he jumps in, right? You know, I don't know about you guys, but usually when I go swimming, you know, I try to take off as much clothes as possible, you know, and then I go into the water. But Simon does something very different. He actually puts his clothes on, you know, and you know, and what this is trying to depict to us is just the shame that he's feeling, you know, just this incredible shame that he has, right? That he just wants to cover himself, you know, in that way. And I remember I was ministering at our church. It was years and years and years ago. It's probably my first year when I was a youth pastor. And I used to take our students to overnight prayer meetings. And there was this very gracious businessman that had a very large cabin, you know. And if you're familiar with California, up in the mountains in Big Bear. And he basically turned his home, like his vacation cabin, into a prayer mountain. And so he basically, the garage, or, you know, the basement, you know, it's just a huge room, right, where people just go and just pray and just really seek the Lord. You know, and so we used to go, you know, every quarter or so and just do all-night prayers and, you know, go Friday night and just pray all night long, right? And then, you know, Saturday, hang out and then go back down the mountain. And I remember in particular one time we had this guy and he's actually just got out of the Marines, you know, he's an American guy. And he was teaching in our youth group and, you know, and I was preaching and, you know, and the Holy Spirit, just the presence was so thick. And he started like covering his head. You know, he was basically on his knees, you know, and you know, his face was on the ground. And during the time of ministry, he literally would take his shirt, and he wasn't trying to take his shirt off. He was just taking his shirt and covering his head, you know, because and I asked him, I says, man, what are you trying to do? You know, are you trying to take your clothes off or something? It's just the weirdest, you know, manifestation I've ever seen in my life, right? And he says, no, I just felt so much shame. I just felt, you know, that just the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I just felt so much, and I just wanted to cover my head. You know, I just want to, you know, clothe, you know, myself in essence, right? And you know, whenever I think about this passage, I think about, you know, that guy Matt, you know, and that idea, right? And so Peter is just, you know, he doesn't have his shirt on. He hears it's the Lord, and all of a sudden, all those feelings, you know how sometimes we try to escape our lives by working, you know. We try to, like, you know, there's situations or things going on, and we try to escape our lives by keeping busy, right? Now, obviously, these guys didn't have movie theaters, you know what I mean, and, you know, and bars and, you know, this kind of stuff. That's kind of what our modern usage, right? You know, we have difficulties. We run to the bar or we go to the nightclub, or we go to the cinema. You know, find some way to escape somehow. And these guys don't really have that. You know, all they really have is their work, right? So he's trying to escape to his work. And then as soon as he hears, oh, it's the Lord, it's Jesus, all those feelings of his inadequacy, right? And his shame and his loss and all these things come out. So he jumps into the sea. Those guys come into the shore. And so, you know, I mean, I can just imagine Peter, right? The boat's going towards the shore, right? And Peter's just probably out there just, you know, doggy paddling, right? He doesn't want to come in, you know? And, I think I'd be the same way, right? You know, here I was saying all these really incredible things. I'll die for you, Lord, right? And then at the hands of a little servant girl, I start cursing and I deny Jesus, right? And so he's probably in the water just hating coming back on the shore. And then look what Jesus does. He does something very interesting. Remember, I told you all the way back from chapter 18, right? So he comes in, and do you remember what kind of fire Peter was near, right? Very distinct, you know, very expensive as well, right? When he was warming himself, You know, when he denied Christ, it was a charcoal fire. So what does Jesus do? He walks into the shore, right? So he's feeling all this guilt. Jesus, in a way, is actually recreating the whole incident, right? And so Peter walks in full of shame, full of anguish, you know, I mean, just broken. And what's the first thing that he smells? He smells a charcoal fire, right? You know, sometimes, you know, our memories are attached through our senses, right? There was a pastor in our church. This is what, in the church plant before I moved to Hong Kong, and she became our children's pastor, and she had a really really tough story. And her parents were pastors. Actually, her parents were quite famous pastors. And when she was, you know, like 12 years old, and she had a younger brother who was like 8. And they basically left them in the United States, right? And so, I mean, can you imagine that, right? And so, they wanted a better education for their kids, but they literally just left them with some friend, and they didn't even live together. And so this girl grew up by herself, taking care of her younger brother. She's 12 years old. I mean, just crazy, you know? And so schools would call, you know, and she'd have to lie all the time and say, oh, my mom is in the market. And she kind of grew up this way. You know, this person would come in once in a while and see that they're okay, but she basically took care of themselves, you know, living in a place all by herself. And so she never really had a childhood. And so she was walking, I think she was in Target, which is like it's a store in the States. And she's walking in Target, and all of a sudden she saw a woman and a girl about 12 years old holding hands. You know, and they were just walking down, and she, in her own words, she stopped and she froze and she just started bawling. You know, is that picture, right, drew out a memory inside of her that was incredibly traumatic. And so much so that she actually suppressed that memory, you know, or that pain for a long, long time. You know, and now, like, whenever she saw a 12-year-old girl, she just started crying. I mean, a 12-year-old girl and their mother interacting together. I mean, that's not very healthy if you're a children's pastor, right? And you got a lot of 12-year-old girls, you know, in your ministry, you know. But that's a picture, right? That sometimes our visual or our senses, right, untrap memories that are within us. That's why in inner healing, you know, they have a thing called the healing of memories. Right? That we can minister to people through those memories that are locked, that are traumatic, and thus set them free, you know, in this age, right? In the present time. And that's what Jesus is. He's drawing out the scenario. And so Peter comes, and can you imagine how he feels, you know? And he's thinking, maybe the Lord forgot. You know, maybe, you know, since he's died, and maybe all the memories died with him, and now he's resurrected, right? So he goes over, but what's the first thing that he smells? He smells the fire, right? That brings back this memory of his betrayal. And then, you know, these guys continue on, they eat, and then after they finish breakfast, he turns to Peter, right? Simon, son of John, right? Do you love me more than these? And these that he's talking about is, he's talking about his occupation, the fishing, you know, this whole environment, all this kind of stuff. His life says, do you love me more than these? But he uses a different word, right? And so he's confronting Peter with the word agape, right? In other words, he's saying, do you love me unconditionally, Peter? And what Peter responds, right? And he can only respond, Lord, I phileo you. You know, I love you like a brother. That's not what Jesus asked, right? You know, I mean, can you imagine how devastating this is? And, you know, many of us that have been dating relationships, you know how this is, right? You turn to the girl and say, hey, I love you. The girl turns back, well, okay, I like you. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know, that hurts, right? You know, it's this is the interchange that's happening, right? This is Jesus saying, Peter, do you love me? Do you agapeo me? Do you love me more than anything? You know, and all that Peter can respond is, Lord, you're like my friend. You know, I like you. You're a good guy. Right? And so Peter, and then Jesus asks Peter, son John, do you agapeo me? Do you love me unconditionally, right? This is in the Greek, the highest form of love. You know, there's actually 5 words for love in Greek. We only really use 3, you know, predominantly. Right? And so he says, do you love me? And he says, you know, Lord, I like you, right? I'm not quite ready for that commitment yet. I like you, you know? And then the third time, Jesus, right, he meets Peter where he's at, and he says, Peter, do you like me? Do you phileo me? Right? Peter says, oh, what are you going to ask me? Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you, right? And this is really the heart of God. You know, the other part of playing, replaying this situation, remember, Peter denies Jesus three times, so Jesus reaffirms Peter three times. You know, and notice, even when he says, right, he says, do you agapeo me? And he says, no, I phileo you. Even though he says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, right, he still gives Peter an assignment to care for people, right? You know, Peter can only go a certain way, right? He can only, you know, he's not able to give 100% to God, but yet the Lord still gives him his assignment, right? God, he meets us where we're at. You know, many of us, we may not be ready to go to Africa on the mission field, you know. You know, we may not be ready to do amazing exploits for God, but yet God still gives us assignments, you know, and we grow in these things, right? You know, there's people always ask me about Abraham and Isaac, right? You know, and it's always, how can God ask Abraham, you know, to do this to his son Isaac, right? But if you read the text very carefully, the key is in the beginning of chapter 12, right, where he says, and after these things, God told Abraham to go. See, that after these things, right, is a history of God's faithfulness in Abraham's life. Right, it's when Abraham, you know, messed up with the king, you know, called his wife his sister and almost died. Abraham leaves, you know, takes Lot with him and creates all kinds of trouble, disobeys God. You know, and after these things are just these testimonies of God's faithfulness, so that when he comes to Genesis 12, right, and God says, take your son, Abraham says, okay. Right, and in that same way, right, this is the same thing that works in Peter's life, right? He may not be ready right now, but there's going to be a time of after these things, you know. And in fact, Jesus points to it in the next kind of segment, and he says, you know, one day someone's going to take you where you do not want to go. And if you know the story of Peter, right, you know, his all the 12 disciples have what they call an apostolic symbol. Peter's apostolic symbol is actually a cross that's actually upside down. And that's not meant to be a curse or anything like that. The cross upside down was because when Peter was being crucified, and that's the kind of death that he died. And while he's being crucified, he actually begged his captors and said, I'm unworthy. I mean, this is his quote. You can read this in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And he says, I am unworthy to die as my Lord has died. He said, and he begged them, please crucify me upside down. You know, can you imagine how much more of a horrific death that he, you know, but how did he get to that from, do you love me unconditionally? No, I just like you, Lord. Do you love me? No, I just like you. You know, and then he gets to the culmination of his life, because that's after these things, right? And I mean, and, you know, Peter became an incredible leader in the church. You know, spread the gospel far and wide, right? But I mean, this is not to glorify Peter, right? This is God's heart, right? You know, you mess up, it's never too late, right, for the child of God. You know, you say things and betray, right, your speech, betray your convictions by your actions. It's never too late, right? God's always there. You know, and because the business of the Lord is redemption, right? The business of God is restoration, right? And so he takes Peter, right, you know, goes through the whole situation, you know, denies him three times, you know, the Lord affirms him three times. Even when Peter is not able to give the answer that God wants, that Jesus wants, he still carries him through. Right, it's really, you know, I mean, this whole chapter is really about Peter, right? It's about Peter being restored, you know, and then, you know, he becomes one of the major leaders of the church, you know, from that day on. This is a beautiful passage. And so let's close our eyes as we finish John. Next week, this is not finalized yet, but next week, starting Tuesday, we plan to meet at SP 1.5, right? And so on the second floor, I don't think the chairs are there yet, so we'll just probably sit on the floor, and we're going to do an unplugged version. But I want to go there and just start praying a little more forcefully, right? And so, but you'll find out on Sunday. We have a meeting today. And we'll see how far they've come along, and so kind of just keep that on your radar. And so let's pray, and you know, let's seek the Lord. Maybe you feel guilty about something. Maybe you're ashamed of something. Don't hold it to yourself. Give it to the Lord. Maybe God's been asking you for things, and you're quite reluctant, or you're not quite at that place yet. Let Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him just guide you. Let him forgive you and set you free. So as Vaughn leads us in a song, just invite you to just go before the Lord and just thank him for his faithfulness.
My heart will find its home in you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for God's faithfulness to continue to be extended to His people. Let's pray for restoration and healing and forgiveness to flow in amongst our community, even in our own lives. Let's just spend some time and let's pray that if people are, you know, in our community are having a time like Peter, where they feel like they really let God down, that God would just totally restore them. Let's pray. Let's pray for restoration amongst members of our body, particularly our family members. Let's continue to pray for Charles and his dad. Charles is flying out to see his dad today. Let's pray for traveling mercies and just God's hand to be extended to him and through their family. Let's pray for Alex and his dad. Alex's dad starts chemo this coming Sunday, and let's pray for it's a safe time, and God would just really begin to move through his life and encourage the family. Let's pray for my aunt, for her pancreatic cancer, and the Lord would just heal her. And this, she's going through her second round as the cancer is spread now. Let's pray for Kian's mom and for Matthew Doble's aunt. Let's pray for Janine to continue to be restored. Let's pray for Krista's aunt as well, and Jeff and Janella's grandparents. Let's pray for our community that's struggling with cancer and other diseases. Let's also pray for our brothers and sisters that their jobs may be restored. Let's pray for Katharina, for Mark Starnes, for John King. Pray for Genevieve. Let's pray that God would open doors for them. Let's just lift our community up to the Lord. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for our local ministries. Let's pray for the churches here in Hong Kong, the Chinese-speaking churches, international churches, ethnic churches. Let's pray that this weekend the Word of God will be preached powerfully. Let's pray for YWAM, Hong Kong, particularly Sports Services International. Pray for Godwin and Shanti Ministries, and Fabi and Frank at Master's Beauty. Pray for Jimmy at Face to Face and Zhengsheng College. Armanda, Feed the Hungry, and CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Ask God's hand to be upon these ministers and these ministries, and God would provide for them. God would release anointing for them to do their ministry, and that they would stay focused on their purpose. Let's just cover. Thank you. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up the worship team, and particularly the three worship leaders and our welcome team. Pray for men's and women's ministries and local outreach. Let's pray for God's hand to be extended to each one of these leaders and all the ones that are serving in these ministries. Let's pray for fruitfulness and faithfulness in our members. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for all the logistics and pray for our contractors and for K plus K and for Tracy. We have a site visit today, and we get to see the progress of everything. Pray that all the equipment would come on time, and Winston would have enough time to put in all the sound equipment. We're probably end up moving probably this Monday, all of our equipment and everything over there. And so let's pray for a smooth time, and you know, pray for volunteers. If any of you guys have time on Monday to come out and help us out, it'd be great. And so let's just cover just this whole transition, you know, but not just in terms of the building, but you know, let's pray for our transition in the spirit as well. And I'll actually be preaching on that this Sunday. And let's pray that God would really move upon us and take us to another level. Let's pray to that end right now. And let's pray for our weekend before the Lord. Let's ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for tonight with a Growing in Christ class and the Experiencing God class, our discipleship. Let's pray that God's people would really be ministered to. Let's pray for IP meeting as well. Let's pray for Saturday with our GIC class, and just the hand of the Lord be upon each of the ones who participate. Let's pray for our service on Sunday, for the youth group, for Noah's Ark, for the services, that God's word be preached and the kids will be taken care of. And let's pray for McCain House Church tonight, and also for Cascade on Monday night. Let's pray that people will be set free. So let's just cover this weekend and pray that we would just lift up Jesus in all of our activities, and that he would come and minister through us. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for another week, God, that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for just the grace that's always extended to your children. And we thank you, God, that your main business is to restore and to redeem. And Father, we just want to walk, God, in the fullness of that in our lives, Lord. Just watch over us, God, today, throughout this weekend, Father. Prepare us, God, to move to a new place. Lord, the promised land, God, in a figure of speech, God, is awaiting us. And so help us, God, to be ready and to go. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today. And we'll see you throughout this weekend.